At 2SER, we do our very darndest to bring you inclusive content that's fun for the whole family, which is why if there's ever some naughty words coming up, we make sure to give you ample time to prepare in the form of language warnings. So it would be remiss of me not to show the same care for this next chat, that it's all about the P word. This is your official language warning, as yes, we're about to get right into privatisation. The big P. Specifically, bus privatisation, and whatever your thoughts on the matter within the public sector, pros and cons you might see in it, it's important in any case to acknowledge that changes to public transport is likely to have a major shake-up to the everyday life of so many. And to walk us through one side of the argument on the current proposals to Sydney's buses from the New South Wales government is David Babineau, Divisional Secretary of New South Wales Tram and Bus Division of the Rail, Tram and Bus Union. David, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for joining the show. We appreciate your time. And it is a big question, but these rumours of this proposal and the signage you see on buses and alike have seemed to be around for ages. At least I've lived in Sydney for 4 years and it's been there the whole time. So what stops it so far and will it ever end?
Well, it will end because there's only three state-run regions left actually in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
The government's consistently sort of thrown that out as a reason for privatisation by saying that, 80% of regions are run privately. There's a historical reason for that, and there's also figures that show that that doesn't actually matter. So the historical reason is that when they ripped up the tram tracks back in the day, they replaced them with buses. That became the government bus service. Right. So there's a lot of areas of Sydney where there never were buses that were run by the government. It's always been private. And the reason that doesn't matter is that those three regions alone, regions 7, 8 and 9, actually do more than 50% of all bus trips in Sydney.
And where are 7, 8 and 9?
7, 8 and 9. So you've got the beaches, the northern beaches, from Palm Beach all the way back into the city.
Mm-hmm.
You've got sort of the northwest from the city out to Epping and out to, Ryde Depot. So Ryde does a huge amount of work. And then you've got basically from the city all the way down to Port Botany, La Perouse. If you add in Region 6, which was privatised last year, then the number goes up to over 70% of all Sydney's bus trips done by these four regions alone. And again, the space widens, the geographical area widens, and you're really looking at the core of Sydney.
Wow, that's incredible. I've never known. Well, I live on the beaches, so I suppose it's still state-run there, but there are always kind of rumours there. And I grew up on the Central Coast, and it's privately run there, and as a result, I know there's no buses during the night, and even where I lived, there was one route, and it came about once an hour. So might we see ramifications as a result of privatisation like this in those areas, 6, 7 and 8, or 7, 8, 9, like you said?
Oh, definitely. This is actually one of the main issues that we've got with it. The union's position has always got to be to look after its members and the workforce. That is our core.
Absolutely.
Work. However, our members are not separate from the community. They live, quite often near where they work. They catch buses themselves when they're not driving them. It's they're part of the community. So part of the union's charter is to look after the community in which our members work as well. They privatised Newcastle, mm-hmm. which was a debacle. They ripped out over 150 bus stops. There was no notification of route changes. The Premier himself stood up and said that, the Transport Minister stood up and claimed that he had saved Newcastle Transport from, inefficiencies and inadequacies, but he was the one in charge of it before he privatised it.
It's a nightmare up there as well. I know, it's not too far from, like I said, where I grew up. I've got mates up there, and even the train system has been for 4 or 5 years, absolute nightmare.
This is the thing. You can't use inefficiencies and poor management as an excuse to privatise something when you're the one in charge of managing it poorly. It makes absolutely no sense. And the fact that he's been able to say this, I think, just shows how little regard they have for the community and probably to a degree how disengaged the community is. But, as you say, look, Newcastle was a horror show, continues to be. Kids left by the side of the road. It's certainly improving.
Mm-hmm.
Region 6 has had a similar experience, except that was more of an internal issue.
And where's Region 6?
Region 6 is Burwood, Leichhardt, Kingsgrove and Tempe bus depots, mm-hmm. and their surroundings. So that covers a fairly large area. One of the reasons this happened, of course, this way was that Newcastle is all Labor. So So that's no dramas. We don't have any problem with it, you know.
Yep.
Privatising labour areas. In Region 6, you have one Liberal member who signed off on it
mm-hmm.
and who received a promotion, which was Mr. Sidoti. And now, really, you've got, basically, it's been shown that you can keep your seat in an election and privatise. They've basically convinced the party room it's good to go, and everyone's towing the line.
So is it a council-by-council issue? Like, who makes the decisions? Like I said, I'm on the beaches, and there's... I actually saw one of kind of your posters, which led me to getting in touch with you guys about the issue. And equally, I got in touch with Northern Beaches Council, who preferred not to comment. But who makes the decisions? I know at Brookvale, the Brookvale Depot, which is the major, I guess, depot for the area, there's proposals there to pretty much scrap it and turn it into a shopping precinct from the council potentially. So you've got to kind of draw a line there and say that they're linked. Yeah. So is it the council that makes these decisions?
To a degree, it's not going to be the council that makes the decisions about what routes get cut, fares going up and stuff like that, what services are run. The council doesn't make those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
That rests with transport. The problem we have is obviously that once you don't have a state government operator, whose policy, by the way, for complaints is 100% actioning. So it's unlike, you know, a private company which will do its best to hide everything it can.
Right.
As a matter of course. You have an organisation that will actually go through every single feedback it gets. Now, once you have that sort of accountability removed, then you've got a private operator who's not interested in being seen in a bad light.
Mm-hmm.
You've got transport there behind them as a bureaucratic barrier again, and then you've got the government who make the final decision. And they're going to be completely insulated. And if they're not going to blame the operator, they'll blame transport. And they will basically inflict public transport on people. And there'll be absolutely no consultation, and there hasn't been. But that trend will continue, and it's only going to get worse. As far as the spaces of the depots, there's really, unless they replace it,
mm-hmm.
you're really looking at probably more issues with the airspace, in the same way that they're doing with the metro stations, where they've demolished a building, and then they're going to basically do the station underneath, and then they'll redevelop the airspace above it.
Right.
I know Waverley Council, for example, last year had a proposal floating around. I'm not too sure if it was supported or not, but it was certainly doing the rounds, where they were going to put a school on top of, in the airspace above Waverley Bus Depot, which would have been
nice,
interesting from a safety perspective. But yeah. There you go.
There you go. Is there any, like, I know you're probably not in a position to think so, but is there any theoretical advantages in this going forward in those regions where it's looking somewhat likely at the moment?
Look, there are in the short term.
Such as?
The short term, there definitely are. Basically, you're in a position where you're outsourcing things. So, yes, in the short term, things will cost less because you've gone out and you said, who can do this for less?
Mm-hmm.
And people come back and they say, yeah, well, I can and I can. And you pick the one you like. And in the short term, absolutely, there are definitely savings. But the problem we have is that in the medium to long term, it always costs the taxpayer more.
Mm-hmm.
Any issue that arises operationally. So I'll give you an example. In Region 6, in the first, you know, the first sort of, one of the first things they did was turn around and they tried to take a week's annual leave off part-time workers, saying
right.
they're not shift workers. And then when, you know, obviously we had issues with that and the workforce had issues with that. And so what they did is they turned around and said, that's okay. It wasn't included in the tender. Therefore, we'll go and claim it from the government. So they're consistently making claims on the government for anything that arises cost-wise that what they weren't told about, or they can prove that they weren't told about. So they're constantly going, you know, cap in hand, looking for more money. None of this comes out. And then, you know, of course, you've got the buying of new buses, which is the private operator buys them, and the government leases them back over the course of 15 years.
Right.
You know, and that costs a bit, and that makes them a little bit of money. So everything becomes profit-driven. And once that money's taken out of the system, you find that, in actual fact, really the savings are probably going to cost you more in the end because you have to now accommodate that profit. And, you know, you've still got to manage the network. You've still got to, you know, put in new bus lanes and you know, do traffic flow studies and all that kind of stuff. You've got to maintain it. So in the medium to long term, it always costs more. There's not a single international example of privatisation where it has not cost the government more. And let's not forget, the government has no money.
Yep.
The government holds our money. So pay to build, pay to use, and then pay to fix is the way it seems to go.
There you go. It's absolute head scratcher. Hey, David, thanks so much for joining us on the show today. Should we keep an eye out and watch this space? Is there something kind of potentially brewing up pretty soon?
Yeah, definitely. Look, we had Region 7 was announced today. The tenders are open. That'll be awarded, they're saying, August of next year.
Right.
It's not done until it's done. But at the same time, yes, watch this space. We'll leave it at that.
All right, cheers. Hey, I appreciate your time this morning, David. All the best going forward.
Good on you. Thanks, Jared. Cheers.
Cheers.